Turn with me to Exodus chapter 4.
All right, we'll begin Exodus chapter 3, the end of it. That hymn we just sang is attributed to Dorothy Thrupp, but it was found in Hymns for the Youth. I thought, well, I'd like to be in that children's class one year. A faithful pastor one time had a whole series. He said, I was going to spend 15 minutes every Sunday morning talking to the young people. And I said, can I sit in? I want to sit there and hear what you have for the little people. And I like that. It's simple and plain. I want it simple and plain. It's a good thing, isn't it? Exodus 3, we'll look at verse 17. I have a title of this message is a three-point message. I have 3 points for you. Three-point message. If you'd like to read along, Exodus 3, verse 17. The Lord speaking to Moses and said, I have said I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. And now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No. Not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. This is who's speaking to Moses. This is the God that is God. The Lord of hosts. And everybody wants to stretch out their hand and do something for him and obligate the Lord. He says, I'm going to stretch out my hand. I'm going to do it. This ain't in man's hands. Pharaoh ain't going to listen to you. Ain't going to listen to nobody. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. This is Exodus. Remember, this is drawing out. This is bringing out from that prison, from that bondage that we are. And the Lord said, I'm going to do it. I will stretch forth my hand. Verse 21. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. You ain't going to go out here empty handed. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters. And ye shall spoil the Egyptians. The Lord said, I'm going to do all this. You've been in bondage for 430 years. And I'm going to give you my word. You're going to go to Pharaoh, and he ain't going to listen. And so I'm going to make it apparent to the world from here on. I stretch forth my hand that I did this, and I brought you out. And when you go out, you're not going to tuck tail and run in the middle of the night. You're going to turn to the Egyptians and say, give me your earrings. We're going to go worship God. I'm going to use that to make sockets, put this tabernacle in. And they're going to give it to you. Every time I read that, I was in history class in college, and I thought, April 9th, 1865 in America, Civil War ended. And you think all those that took a couple months to travel west, people didn't know it is. That's how we have Juneteenth. But if that news passed, you think all those freed slaves, if they turned to their masters, been in bondage, their family been for a couple hundred years, say, hey, give me your wife's wedding band. I need to make that so I can go melt it down and we'll use that to worship God. And that's sure. Yeah, well, here, take it. Here's my watch. You can melt that down. Hey, I'm going to make you a sandwich on the way so you don't get hungry while you're going. You'd say, that's ludicrous. That ain't going to happen. The Lord said, hide and watch it. That's what the Egyptians are going to do for you. When I'm going to bless it, it can't be unblessed. And it's going to be amazing. And they ain't going to have stingy hearts, and they ain't going to have selfishness in them. I'm not going to use them for eternity, but for this moment, I'm going to open their purse strings up, and everything you need is going to be provided for you without you even having to lift a finger. Just have them borrow that. There you go. Why was it borrowed? It said they shall borrow. Well, this whole world's going to burn, isn't it? You know that house we worked so hard for and those cars we worked so hard for? That ain't mine. That's the Lord's. That ground I own, that ain't my ground. I happen to have a piece of paper that could burn like that. That's his ground. Let's go a little deeper. You know, them precious children or grandchildren or whatever we have? That's his. That ain't ours. It's his. We're just borrowing it. We're just here for a moment, aren't we? What an amazing promise of the Lord. He said, you're going to do everything I tell you to do. It ain't going to work out the way you think it's going to work out. I'm going to prove to you that I'm sovereign and I do what I will. And it's going to be bountiful. The end's going to be better than the beginning. And you can just scratch your head and, how's that going to happen? Sit back and watch him work. Wait on the Lord and watch it come to pass. Watch it come to pass. It says in Exodus 4, verse 1. The Lord told Moses all these things. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared to thee. Boy, that just hit me. The God of heaven and earth spoke to Moses out of a burning bush on holy ground. And he said, now go tell them this. What am I going to say sent me? I am. We looked at that last week. Everything that means. Go tell them, Moses. And here's what's going to happen. Shall come to pass. And here's Moses. And he says, that ain't going to work. They ain't going to believe me. What a rebellious and unbelieving saved sinner that is. God just revealed himself to him, just saved him, and he said, I don't think that's going to work. No one run that by me. I don't think that's good. I think we all try it my way. They ain't going to believe me. They ain't going to believe that I talked to you. And I thought nothing's changed. We'll see this as the message, as points unfold in this message God gives Moses. But that's who's used to preach the gospel. Just frail, weak vessels of clay that's prone to wander and worry and get distracted and everything else like anybody else. Just like the ones they're preaching to. I ain't no different. Somebody reaches out to me often and says, I want you to pray for me. Well, I will, but I don't have... Tell them other preachers to pray for them. We ain't got no 800 number that's going to be any different than what you. There's no man between God and men but the mediator, but Christ. Go to him. Go to his feet. My job is to say go to his feet. Don't talk to me. Talk to him. I'll pray for you anyway. But Brother Mayhem was preaching one time, Paul, and he said, a fellow come up to him after. And he goes, you know, it's so refreshing to hear a preacher say he's a sinner. You don't hear that. It ain't just so rare to hear a preacher say that he's a sinner. It's a rare thing to find sinners. Well, they might have done something bad. I stole a pack of Rolos when I was 5 from a grocery store. Sin. Sin. That's all I am. I told you, if you got inside of my head, you quit eating lunch with me. I think some of y'all got inside my head. It's a shameful thing, isn't it? That's Moses. Verse 1 says, Moses answered, said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. He's saying, your word's going to return void, Lord. They ain't going to do no good. Verse 2, and the Lord said unto him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. You see what just took place? This comforted me. I hope it comforts you. The Lord was not fazed by Moses' inability. The Lord wasn't fazed by his reluctance or his laziness of his chosen servant. He didn't even say, I don't care, Moses. He just kept saying what he was going to say. It wasn't a hiccup in his plan at all. What the Lord was going to will to do was going to come to pass. You can kick and scream if you want, Moses. As the two fellows retired from a CSX railroad there in Kentucky one time. Both of them did 30 years. Both of them worked in the same rail yard their whole life. And one of them was happy every day. He went to work and said, Lord gave me this job. And was thankful and blessed and smiled, and the other one was grumpy and his wrinkles showed it and frowned all the time, gritted his teeth. And he come out of there and both of them had the same pension. Both of them had the same experience. One was happy, one was sad. What a thought. Here's the first point of this 3-point message God gave Moses to preach. It's the rod. He said, what's that in your hand? He said, a rod, verse 3. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground. It became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. Why did Moses run? It was a snake. There's enmity between me and the serpent. So that's good snakes. Go play with them if you want. I ain't messing with them. I don't like them. They bit me before and I don't want nothing to do with them. But this was a poisonous snake, wasn't it? It was a dangerous snake. It was deadly. Moses was no match for the snake. And he ran from it. Verse 4, and the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Why'd he grab the tail? The Lord told him to. Don't you mess with that head. You just touch the tail. If we could just get a hold of this a little bit, and we'll see this serpent's been made a rod. God may make give us life. Wake us up. It'd be precious. What's with this rod? What's happening with this rod? We just read it in Isaiah 11, didn't we? Who's this rod? What's this rod? Who is this rod? There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That's what that began with, was a rod, wasn't it? Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Christ is that rod. He descended. A body was prepared for him, and he was sent to this cursed earth. He was cast on this ground, wasn't it, for his elect's sake. And he was made under the law, born of a woman, just like us, wasn't he? And he was made sin. He was made that very thing that we are, that was killing us. And he gave up the ghost, and he was received as that victorious rod of Jesse, according to the scriptures, to his rightful throne. He was that brazen serpent lifted up, drawing all his church, all his body to himself. That's what happened. Our instinct, our nature is to run away from that. I'm going to read you something. See if you draw back just a little bit. Like if there's a poisonous snake sitting there, you take a little caution. You breathe a little easier, don't you? Let me tell you what the Lord's Word says. We're the ambassadors of Christ preaching to you. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, and Christ said, be ye reconciled to God. I want every man, woman, and child that can hear me to be reconciled to God. I want you to be reconciled to God. 4, because he hath made him sin for us, who knew no sin. That rod wasn't a serpent. That rod was made a serpent. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We'll be made just like him. Didn't that make you draw back a little bit? You want to take your shoes off for that one? Is that holy ground? Substitution is what that is. What's that rod? Christ came down. He was cast onto this earth and made us. And God slew him, didn't he? And he was received into glory just as he was, but the victor. Right back to that rod. Substitution is marvelous. It's a precious thing, and it's a terrible thing. It's a frightening thing, isn't it? Kimberly's got a class of young people, and it's just as this word says. They don't respect their parents, they ain't raised right, and they're disrespectful, and they'll cut your throat if you'd let them. And she had somebody as a substitute for her. And he come out of that class, and he said, you going in there again? He said, I wouldn't go back in there, I'd quit. He said, I'm not substitute for you no more. And that's just little tiny children, isn't it? What about dealing with a holy God? We cursed and we spit in his face and we didn't want nothing to do with him. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He crushed that serpent's head by being made that brazen serpent, and we looked to him. And we said, where is he? Is he still there? No! He's the rod. He's back where he belongs. Right on his throne. Isn't that majestic to us? He said, go preach that, Moses. My people believe that. They ain't going to believe me. Oh, yes, they will. Yes, they will. What's in your hand, Moses? Verse 4, and the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. The Lord said, now you do this. I'm going to show you how to do this, and you do this. This is what you tell them. Show them. Verse 5, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers and the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. What's the first point, Moses? Go preach to them, tell them about substitution. Christ our head taking our place, and he's victorious, and behold your God. Behold him. How could they understand such a thing with me throwing a rod down, come a snake, me picking it back up, and it's a rod again? Lord doesn't teach it. He doesn't make people understand. You just tell them. Just tell them. That's the Lord's first point. What's the Lord's second point in this message he's given Moses to preach? Three-point message from God, isn't it? Why did all this have to happen? First one, substitute, behold your God. The second one, all flesh is grass. Look here in verse 6. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. He stuck his hand inside of his shirt, and he pulled his hand out, and his hand was white as snow, nothing but leprosy. Verse 7. And he said, put thy hand in thy bosom again. And he put his hand in his bosom again, and he plucked it out of his bosom. Behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. It says there in verse 6, put your hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And it was his hand, wasn't it? What we read in verse 1? Moses answered and said, behold, thou not believe me, nor hearken to my voice. He's the sinner, isn't he? He's got to get that first before he can do anything else. Moses, you touch your bosom. That's where the problem is. And don't shy away from it. You tell the people. I've heard horrible remarks about sermons to faithful men of old and of this generation. They say, you ought not tell people what a sinner you are. God says, go tell them. Shall I listen to man or shall I listen to God? I'm going to do what he says. I'm a sinner like anybody else. Ain't no different. I'm born of Adam. Did the Lord give me this job? He sure did. And as he's with me, I'll fulfill the duties of this job, execute them the best I can as he sees fit. But I'm no different than anybody else. I'm no different. And the Lord said, he reminded Moses of that. And he said, if they won't hear about Christ and him crucified and they won't hear about him being made sin, you can tell them, you might want to pay attention to this and wake up because you're sin and I'm sin. I know you are because I am. I ain't no different than you. Same blood goes through your veins, goes through mine. We're all born of Adam. Now you go show them that. Tell them that. That's where the problem is. Did you know that? In the heart. It's not in the outward. It's not in the books you read. It's not in the tobacco that you chew. It's not in the beer that you drink or what company it comes from. People say, oh, sinners drink that kind of beer. Oh, you drink the good kind of beer? Nonsense. The problems of the heart. The Lord said that in Matthew 15. He said, are you without understanding? You know this. Do you understand it? He said, do you not understand that whatever entereth the mouth, go into the belly, is cast out and dropped? It just goes through you. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. That's what defiles a man. That's where the problem is. Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witness and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands, that don't defile nobody. Wash hands if you want to. The heart's the problem. Turn over to Luke 18. This will be a real short look, but we'll look at it. Look here in verse 9. Let's read this like we ain't never read it before. Lord be with us as we do. Luke 18, verse 9. And he spake a parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. They're fine, and everybody else is wrong. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, not once. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. I give a tenth of everything that comes across my table, and I let God have it. Ain't he so good? Now remember, the Lord said that unjust and the adulterers and all those things and the thieves, that come from the heart. You didn't steal something that made you a thief. You was a thief in the heart, and that's why you stole something. You didn't cheat on your taxes and not tell the government what you made last year because now you're a tax cheat. Use a tax cheat because you're a sinner, and that's why you cheated on your taxes. This publican says, I'm not unjust and I'm not a dog. He said, I ain't got a heart problem. I wish the Lord would give us a physical heart problem. Maybe we pay attention about these spiritual heart problems. You know what I mean? He may do that in Providence. Our physical heart problem be our taskmaster, make us pay attention to these spiritual problems we got. That publican or Pharisee said, I'm fine. Thank you. Well, I have such a blessed life. Do you hear that come across people's mouths? Everybody and their brother. We're so blessed. Oh, it's such a blessing. We're blessed. They put on the last plate. Blessed. Don't even say that God blessed us because he chose to. They shorten it down to one word. Blessed. What about that publican? Remember Moses? The Lord said, stick your hand on your heart. Not anybody else's heart. Don't worry about the Pharisee. Don't worry about nobody else. You put it on your heart. I'm going to put it on my heart and pull it back and see what's there. Verse 13, the publican standing afar off would not so much lift his eyes on the head, didn't go in there, but smote upon his breast. Why did he hit his breast? That's where the problem was. He put his hand there, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. You stick in it, I'm leprosy. Ain't nobody can touch me. I can't be in the presence of nobody. I have to yell, unclean, unclean. What about so-and-so? I'm too busy yelling unclean to where they're clean. I got a problem. And he said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. He didn't say he went down there doing cartwheels and he felt warm and fuzzy and he went and opened the soup kitchen for everybody because the people know he's a good Christian. He went down justified by the blood of Christ. Do you need a warm fuzzy or do you need his blood? There's people that's mad at their preacher and run him off because they said he wasn't nice. Like, you just ain't sweet enough and you ain't kind enough. Neither was Jonah. They didn't need Jonah to be nice. They had multiple millions of people. They needed Christ and him crucified to be preached to. Your grass ain't nothing. You're going to burn up. You need him. One that's made a serpent because that's what we are. And he's risen. We're in him. That's the need. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Moses, you tell them what you are, and you tell them what the Lord did for you. You thought you were fine, but you had a heart problem. And because of that rod being made sin and is risen, you're made whole. Put it there, I ain't nothing but sin. Now I'm made just like him. How'd that happen? Isn't that the history of mankind in a handbreadth? We was whole when Adam, morally innocent. We wouldn't cast out yet. We ain't nothing but sin. He's made us whole again. First point, that's the message of substitution. Second point, salvation's of the Lord, and we need it. We need it. That's what he told that man. He healed him. He said, go home to thy friends. Go to them people you know. Go to them people you live next door with. Go to them people you have dealings with in your daily life and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and how he had compassion on you. I didn't deserve this. I didn't earn it. That's called grace. He did it because he wanted to. Go tell them. Go tell them. So he's telling Moses, isn't it? Third point, how can that be? How can it be right? Is this legitimate? Somebody came and said, You've won Publishers Clearing House and you got a Ferrari and are you sure? Do I pay taxes on it? What's the catch? That's our thought, isn't it? What's the catch? Is this legitimate? This is more important than cars and Publishers Clearing House than winning the lottery, isn't it? This eternal life and death. This is my soul on the line is how it concerns me, but more, way more important to me being having eternal life than you having eternal life, God's glory is on the line. How do we treat such things? Is this legitimate? That's what Job asked. How can a man be just with God? Even old Bildad didn't know. How can that be? He was looking for facts, wasn't he? Job needed to know. Verse 9, back in our text, Exodus 4. Lord gave the first point, substitution. Gave the second point, all flesh is grass. We have a need. Exodus 4, verse 9. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take the water of the river, and shall pour it upon the dry, and the water which thou hast taken out of the river shall become blood on the dry land. If they won't hear you about the substitution of Christ, about him being made sin, if they won't hear you and you say, we're all sin, we need him, if they still won't hear you, go take that water, put it on the ground, on this earth, and it's going to turn to blood. What's that? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sins. This is necessary. Show them the blood. Talk about the blood. Tell them about the blood. Look to the blood. Faithful man of old told me, if you're preaching and you just lost everybody, just start screaming out, look to the blood. Be a good message. You'll be faithful. It says in Exodus 12, the blood shall be for you a token on the houses. Doesn't that pass over? And the Lord says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Put the blood on the ground. That was water and that was blood, wasn't it? That's what John said in 1 John 5. This is he that came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And this is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit's truth. Remember us looking at that. His side was pierced. And what came out? Water and blood from thy wounded side which flowed. Be of sin the double cure. They shall receive Machpelah. They shall receive the Lord's hand double. We have to be bought. We have to be washed in that blood. And we have to be made holy. God does that. It's if they won't hear you about Christ being made sin, if they won't hear that they're sinners and they need him, he has to be made us, go tell them about the blood. Tell them how this took place. He laid down his life for the sheep. Willingly, he laid down his poured out his blood and gave up the ghost. What if they don't hear you on all three? The catchphrase we have, you snooze, you lose, isn't fitting. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 11. I'll read this to you when we have the Lord's Supper. Let's read this together. 1 Corinthians 11. Got 3 points for you, Moses. Go tell them about Christ, what took place on Calvary. Go tell them what's always been inside of your heart, and the Lord dealt with and took care of that. You had a need for him. And go tell them about the blood of Christ. That's how this took place. That's how this is legitimate. What if they don't hear all three? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25. I'll begin verse 23. Here's what we normally read, the Lord's Supper. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake. And he said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink of this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Moses, go tell him about his work. Go tell him why. And go show his death till he come. Tell him who he is. Show him his blood. Verse 27, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. That's how serious that is. Peter preached that to the very ones that put Christ on a cross, and he had the spine that God put in him to point his finger right in their face, and he said, you slew him, and God set him on his throne. You're not just the reason. You don't just need his blood. You're the one that stuck it in him. Well, you talk about preaching for a verdict. How's that set with you? Well, that was interesting. Nice 3 points, Lord. See ya. See you next week. That's us. First one don't get them. Second don't get them. Moses, go do this. Show them that water turned into wine. Show them that blood of Christ, that he did it. His blood was shed. If we do this unworthy, we say, well, we had a part of it. That's on your hands. The Lord told them folks, he said, you killed him. That blood's on your hands. And they said, what are we going to do to be saved? Repent, turn to Christ, believe on him. Beg him for mercy. He likes to show mercy. And just because he shed his blood for it. It's fair. It's right. That's for those that don't. Those that just don't care about that first one, don't care about that second point, don't care about that third point. Or they're affable, or they give mental assent. Well, that is accurate according to this word that I've dissected because I'm a lawyer. That's for those that there's not a heart work done. God don't melt them because of that. It just, that changes you, buddy. You think having kids change you? Have Christ in you. Turn your world upside down. And he said that his blood's on your hands. If you don't care for him, the Father loved the Son. And those that don't love the Son's going to burn. He said, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Well, what about those that do? I hope that shakes up a whole world, buddy. If it go viral or whatever. Everybody hear that. And we don't need to get people saved. We need to get people lost. They need to have a need. They need to see that hand. Tell them about the blood. Tell them why. But then there's those that do. Well, I've heard that before. I'll just stay at the house. It's an evangelical message. I don't need to hear it. Yes, we do. God's people will rejoice. They'll say, amen, that's good. Tell it to me one more time. We sang that. Tell me the old story. Do we believe it? Or is it just words that come out because it's a nice tune? What about us that believe? What about us that says, I have to have that rod. He has to do it. I'll just be broken. He's the green branch. I'm the dry one that's only fit for burning. What about that hand touched your chest? Is it leprous? Do you have a need? What about that blood? Is that the only thing that makes us cry out? For those of us that do, what about that? Back in our text, Exodus 4, we'll close. Look at verse 31. We'll probably look at this next week, but Moses went and told Aaron, as a picture of Christ, and Aaron went and told the people. Aaron spake the words which the Lord spoke unto Moses. He just said, verse 30, he just said what the Lord said. And he did the signs in the sight of the people. He did what the Lord told him to do. Verse 31, Exodus 4:31. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads, and they worshipped. They worshipped. I pray the Lord's people will see that, hear it. Hear it by the ear, and see it with eye. And they'll bow their heads, and they'll worship, and they'll thank him. And they'll say, boy, that's just right. It has to be this way. And that's miraculous. You think that word's miraculous? I hope we never read that again. It's like, oh yeah, he threw it down, and that's what's in the ark. And then he took the water out, and it was blood. And his hand, something about his hand, didn't it turn white or something? Hope he shows those things. All right, Brother Mike.